This morning I've got Nancy Berland with me. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Steve.
Nancy, you're with Lynn Canal Conservation, right?
Yes.
And what do you do there? Do you hold a position there at Lynn Canal Conservation?
I do. I'm the half-time staff person there, and my official title is Issues Coordinator, which means I work on conservation issues and I coordinate volunteer efforts.
All right. That must keep you pretty busy with that then, huh? Even though it's only like a half-time thing, it sounds like a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it is a lot of stuff, and sometimes we're busier than others.
I could imagine. Now, for those that don't know, what does Lynn Canal Conservation do? What are you guys out there doing for us?
Well, I can tell you our mission statement, which pretty much sums up what drives us.
Okay.
And it's to promote ecosystem integrity, protect quality of life, and foster environmental awareness in the Upper Lynn Canal area.
That pretty much covers it then. So is this like an environmentalist organization or what some people would call that, or is there another name for it, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, we work on conservation issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for a lot of people, quality of life is very much tied up into that. So in other words, one of our focuses is that we maintain our abundant fish and wildlife resources in the Chilkat Valley.
Mm-hmm. And you probably work with a lot of other organizations as well. You'd work with Tuck Chinook Watershed Council, for example?
Sometimes. I mean, yeah. We had a joint presentation, I believe it was last year, where we brought Walkin' Jim Stoltz up here to do a concert, and they were a co-sponsor of that event with us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so you guys probably spend a lot of time with, like, forestry and fish and game and those kind of people.
We do. We do some advocacy in our agencies, with our agencies, both federal and state. And we also do work with other conservation organizations around the state as well.
How long have you guys been around?
LCC was founded in 1971. And so we've been here 36 years. It's mostly a grassroots conservation organization, which means a lot of what we do is done by volunteers.
Right, right. And we'll talk about volunteers here in a little bit, too. Since 1971, you guys have probably had a lot of big issues. Would you, what would be some recent, say, maybe victories in your cause or some of the biggest...
You know,
anything you would brag about that, okay. Well, Lynn Canal Conservation did this, and
okay.
That's why that's not destroyed now or something.
Yeah, I'd like to brag.
Okay. Here's your opportunity to do just that.
Thank you. And, you know, it's not bragging for me because I wasn't here at the time, but in the late 70s and early 80s, a big issue was about the Eagle Preserve. There was a contingent in Haines that wanted to log the cottonwood trees that the eagles perch on, and Lynn Canal Conservation was very instrumental in protecting that area and helping to form the Alaska Chilkat Bald Eagle Preserve. Another thing that we did through mostly volunteer advocacy was in the mid-90s, I believe it was, there was a desire on the part of our garbage provider to buy a incinerator. And we had volunteers that were working that were talking about the health hazards of incineration. And as a result of that advocacy, we are fortunate to have not have gotten an incinerator. And as a result, we have a state-of-the-art composting facility here, which I think is a major accomplishment as well.
That's that giant squirrel cage they got down over there,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, I took a tour of it. It's pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, so, yeah, quality of life, like you said, trying to make sure that the eagles have somewhere to sit and we don't have to smell burning trash. I'm okay with that. What have you got going on right now? Any current happenings? I think you were telling me that you're in the middle of your membership drive.
That's right. Every year we hold our an annual membership drive, and we are in the process of doing that. And we encourage new people that are interested in conservation values to check us out. Another thing that's going on is this Thursday at the museum at 7 o'clock, we're screening Who Killed the Electric Car, which is a movie that I haven't had the opportunity to see yet, but according to the press on it, it's that that General Motors had a fleet of electric cars that were so efficient, they were on the brink of altering the future of driving in America, perhaps even the world. Those lucky enough to drive one gave it glowing reviews, so why were they all destroyed? Who Killed the Electric Car is a murder mystery like no other, as it unravels the puzzling demise of a vehicle that could have saved the environment and America's dangerous addiction to foreign oil. So I think with the soaring fuel prices, it's a very topical movie.
Sure.
And I'm excited to see it, and I hope people come out for that.
Is the electric car dead, or did they? Because like they tried to kill it, but it kind of came back, didn't it? I mean, there's people, you know, the hybrids, of course, are all the rage right now.
Right, the hybrids are a rage. I heard a news story the other day about an electric vehicle that Canada is producing, called the Zen car. I know Bart had a gem car here last year. I haven't seen it out yet this year. Hopefully it's still running. It is the wave of the future, but apparently, and I haven't seen the movie yet, but apparently they did have a fleet of electric cars that were great, and something happened where they were killed. And
killed as in destroyed?
Destroyed, yeah. Mm-hmm. And not made available to the public. So I'm curious to see the movie, and I hope others will come too.
This reminds me back in the, was it the 1930s or 1920s, Los Angeles, which is known to be probably the biggest driving area in the world, used to have quite the mass transit system down there. And Firestone Tires went and bought all the trains and all the tracks just so they could destroy them and sell more tires.
Yeah.
And that's not a conspiracy theory. That's what happened.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah,
so
I know.
It's like what might have happened here. Somebody would have had stood something to gain by these cars not coming out to the public.
Yeah. A lot of times we shoot ourselves in the foot by not having good public policy.
Right.
And so, right. And getting back to our mission, we work that and try and get our agencies to have good public policy that protects the public interest.
Right, right. Well, interesting stuff. And, I guess another funny thing, too, about the electric car being killed. And now, because electricity is also, it's not as bad as foreign oil or domestic oil or any kind of oil. But this is also, a form of energy that tends to tax the environment as well, doesn't it?
It's true. But in Haines and Skagway, we're very fortunate that we run on hydropower now. And so that is a pretty clean source of power. And to think about the possibility of running electric cars using a clean energy source like hydropower is pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Or just walk.
Or just walk or bike.
right. Any other upcoming events?
I mean, we have an ongoing educational forum that we call LCC Presents, and mm-hmm. the Who Killed the Electric Car is part of that ongoing series. So we hope to bring other educational programs to Haines over the course of the summer. People might remember last winter we screened An Inconvenient Truth, mm-hmm. and we've had many other programs that have interested a wide variety of people, and we hope people keep coming out.
So all this stuff you're doing, that must take a small army to accomplish some of this stuff.
Sometimes it surely seems like that.
You've got a board of directors, of course.
Yes.
And then a lot of volunteers.
And a lot of volunteers.
And a staff, or are you the only staffer?
I'm the only staffer. So LCC's history is just full of super volunteers that really care about the ecosystem, clean air, clean water, abundant fish and wildlife resources, and they've devoted a lot of their time to ensure that our quality of life here remains high.
So I guess you're always looking for more volunteers. That army could continually grow, and that would be okay with you?
Always.
Yeah. If somebody wanted to become a volunteer, or they just want more information about Lincoln Elk Conservation, or maybe they would like to become a member during your membership drive, can they give you a call?
Yes, we encourage people to please do so. Our phone number is 766-2295. I'm in the office usually on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and we're located down the hall from the Chilkat Valley News. So if people want to stop by the office, that's fine too.
Okay, good. And so again, reminding people that the movie is this Thursday. What time was it again?
7 p.m. at the Sheldon Museum.
All right. Sounds great. Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you, Steve.